We've got someone in the studio who probably knows the answer to that backyard quiz. Marty Townsend, local girl, I am, Waterloo High School, Boston University, Richardson School of Law. All right. She began her work in the public interest here as program director for KAHEA, the Hawaiian Environmental Alliance, working on protection for the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, among other issues. She was also executive director of the Outdoor Circle, protecting public green spaces, preserving our outdoors against billboards and so on. And she copped to not being a great hiker at one point, but she certainly covered ground at the legislature for many years. Marty Townsend has consistently linked environmental protection and cultural preservation, a relationship of key importance here in Hawaii, right, Marty?
That's right.
And it's one that links us to international efforts, linking environmentalists and indigenous groups. Terrific. Forefront of the movement there. She is now director of the Sierra Club Hawaii chapter since June of 2015. 12,000 members and supporters in the islands. That's a lot of people, Marty. And your mission includes protection of Hawaii's water resources.
Thank you very much. That's what brings you here today.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, Sierra Club, well, this relates to an event that happened January 2014. The Navy reported 27,000 gallons of jet fuel leaked from a tank there at the Red Hill Bulk Fuel Storage Facility.
Right.
And that precipitated a conversation about something people really didn't know was going on.
Right. So these tanks were top secret until the mid-1990s. They were built in the 1940s, and they're huge. They are larger than the Aloha Tower, just to give some perspective, and they hold millions of gallons of jet fuel. There are 20 tanks through the Red Hill Mountain, and 18 are actually in operation. Two have already been retired. And the question before us really is, when is too old when it comes to things like underground fuel storage facilities?
These are underground, and they're vastly...
They're massive.
All underground. Okay.
Yes, and they weren't designed to live on forever. You can tell just from the way that they were installed that the design didn't anticipate them being forever in operation. And we need now to talk about at what point are the tanks too old? Can they not be repaired sufficiently? Do we need to look at other alternatives than having our fuel stored in that location?
Did that 2014 leak indicate any other kinds of problems could exist?
Yes, I think so. So that tank 5 that went through had just come through a year-long renovation process where they analyzed the tank for what are called pinhole pricks, and they had supposedly fixed all those pinhole pricks and then started to fill up. They filled it up first with water, found that there was no leaks, and so they drained the water and they fill it up with fuel. And as soon as they started filling it up with fuel, all of the alarms and bells start going off, and the staff at the time thought, well, this must be something wrong with the equipment.
Monitoring.
We just filled this tank up and it didn't leak, so it should be fine. So it took several days of the alarms going off for them to finally conclude that it was indeed leaking, and that's why such a significant amount of fuel was released. And it indicates that we might be to the point where this 1940s steel, can't be repaired sufficiently to protect our groundwater. It's important to note that these tanks, as large as they are only 100 feet above the aquifer. And this aquifer is a sole source aquifer for the island of Oahu. It serves at least 400,000 people.
It's an amazing the reach. Hawaii Kai to Halawa.
Yes, yeah.
That's
a lot of people, including Waikiki. And so when we think about the implications of contaminating this source of water, it's significant. This is a major risk that we're playing with.
Can we conclude that the leak, the 27,000 gallons, did not produce a problem for us?
So we're still in the process of analyzing that. The fuel hasn't been located and therefore hasn't been cleaned up. What we have seen, though, is monitoring wells that are near the fuel storage facility are showing trace signs of petroleum contamination. And that's the red flag that we want to draw everyone's attention to. So I want to stress here that our drinking water is safe. There is no risk to our drinking water right now. Like, people can drink water on their tap. We have the best water in the world. We should be proud of that and protective of that. Our concern is that if the trend that we are seeing continues, we run the risk of contaminating this sole source aquifer, which would mean drawing water from other aquifers on Oahu, which are smaller and would suffer a lot of stress. It would also mean having to take in like really drastic measures like desalinization. What would we do to replace the drinking water source for 400,000 people? That's a huge consideration. The Navy's offered things like, we could put a carbon filter on the pump station so that the water that comes through your tap would be That's costly and also doesn't address the broader issues of the effect on our environment. All of the springs and streams that are fed by this aquifer, you know, we know of fish ponds and taro fields that rely on spring water from this aquifer, and all of those would be lost because there's no way for us to remediate the fuel from the aquifer when it gets contaminated.
The result of this spill was an agreement between the department, between the state and the Navy, essentially,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's a contract of sorts. It's a settlement agreement between the State Department of Health, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency (EPA), the U.S. Navy, and then what's called the Defense Logistics Agency, which is the entity that actually owns the fuel and the tanks. And they have agreed to take 20 years to analyze the situation and figure out some alternatives and begin the process of implementing alternatives based on whatever's chosen. And our concern is that as we approach this process, we are not considering all the possible alternatives, including the possibility of relocating the tanks. Like, we need to keep an open mind about how we're going to handle the situation. And it may be that the options for renovation don't meet our needs, and we need to make sure that we are taking into consideration other alternatives.
I've read the latest report from the Navy, and they're saying we're monitoring and trying to figure out whether or not it would be feasible to relocate or redesign these fuel tanks.
Right.
Are you concerned perhaps about the timeline here?
Yeah, so the timeline is way too long, and there's not the Navy hasn't demonstrated the urgency necessary, at least that the Sierra Club feels is necessary to protect
our groundwater. What about this 1992 law, then, that you feel mandates they take care of this immediately?
So in 1992, the state legislature passed a statute that said that all existing underground storage tanks be upgraded to meet existing standards. This law hasn't been applied to these Navy tanks. That law said that by 1998, all existing tanks would be upgraded, and there would be a process for ensuring continuing upgrades. The state regulations don't provide a mechanism for doing that, and we can now see how that's a problem. These tanks, as an example, haven't been upgraded significantly since the 1940s. They haven't been required to comply with other requirements for double lining, tank within tanks, that kind of technology. And as a result, we have a much more significant problem to deal with because of that.
Just letting it go on, you say, exacerbates the problem itself.
Exactly.
So luckily.
Yeah. So we filed a petition with the Department of Health asking them to rewrite their rules to take care of this oversight. And we're hoping that this provides an opportunity for the Department of Health to really stand up on behalf of the state and our residents and our drinking water to protect it from future contamination. We really have an opportunity here to prevent a crisis, right? We have this foreshadowing of leaks that we can't prevent and, you know, contamination that we can't clean up. This is a chance for us to make a choice that is protective and precautionary and doesn't that circumvents a crisis and a catastrophe. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish with our advocacy on this issue.
And you've got the legal ammunition in place, I think, to make this happen. We also have a public meeting coming up where you can voice your concern and ask any questions you might have. It's a public meeting at Moanalua Middle School. The EPA, Department of Health, and Navy plan to be there, as well as the Sierra Club. It's June 22nd, 6 p.m. there again at Moanalua Middle. Find out more and find out more about this topic on our Facebook page, The Conversation. Thank you so much, Marty Townsend of Sierra Club, for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.